Welcome to the DP Sports Podcast, where today we're watching ice bucket challenges. Go ahead. You can play Kevin Hart's.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know if you saw Kevin Hart and Dave Franco's Madden trailer, but it was straight up hilarious, and now I'm going to watch Kevin Hart's challenge.
I challenge you, LeBron James, D-Wade, and Gabrielle Union. Woo!
He didn't like get it on his head, though. They kind of bored it more all over his left shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so good, though. This is my favorite thing to go viral.
What?
The ice bucket challenge. In a long time. Or ever.
The ALS thing?
Yeah, the ice bucket challenge. It's great. I love it. It's funny watching LeBron James get water dumped on him. And then, you know, raise money for a good cause.
Yeah.
It's certainly better than, like, Smack Cam.
Yeah, or, I mean,
what's another stupid thing that went viral?
Oh god, like on Twitter? I don't know. I'm trying to think.
There were probably a bunch of stupid things.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I know there's been plenty over time. See, I haven't really been on Twitter for very long, and as people can tell by my lack of Twitter followers, I am not very good at it. I don't know past Twitter trends, but I do know that the ALS one is really good too. I mean, it started taking off. I saw it start taking off with hockey players all over my feed. Like Sid did it, and Lundqvist did it in the suit. I mean, there's just a lot of people, a lot of hockey.
Gary
and
then all of a Bettman, sudden, Jeff Carter's. Although Jeff Carter's was on a beach, on a pier, and all you could hear the entire time is. It's so bad.
Jeremy Jacobs did it, and I wanted someone to dump like HCL on him or something like that instead.
But there's
did I say that out loud?
There's some big people like the Redskins, the Washington Redskins top, like brass did it. Jimmy Fallon did it, and all the Roots did it, like on his show.
Jimmy Fallon did it
on a show. Yeah. It was really good too. Lots of people have done it. It's great. I love it. I got nominated to do it, but I don't have any of the components that are required, such as a bucket or ice.
Please. You could go out to the dollar store and get a bucket, and then you could go to like 7-Eleven and buy an ice pack. You are just a gigantic lady part all you are.
All right. Next time we do this podcast, I'll have done the ALS challenge, and Dan, you will have been nominated.
That's awesome. I'll do mine on the show. Like, we'll record. Not obviously, you can't see a video. But we'll record
the
audio.
We can post it to our site. That'll be good. Okay.
No one wants to see ALS ice bucket challenges from someone with 52 Twitter followers, right? I mean, who's going to look at that video other than your mom?
Well, she watches all of them. All of your videos.
Of course she does.
All right.
Okay. Who are we?
We are the Unstoppable Duo.
But we're actually quite stoppable.
Really easily stoppable.
Yeah, we can be stopped by like small impediments in the road or
potholes,
the internet going down, audio issues.
Audio issues are my main kryptonite.
That's right. And today, well, we're recording on a Sunday, which I think is a first for us. Usually, Sunday is our day of rest, Paul.
From this ginormous undertaking.
I know. But what are we going to talk about today?
Well, everything that's happened in the sports world, which is as follows.
Go. Nothing. Wait, there's just dead silence there. Okay. Fair. I respect that.
No, I mean, we got it's slow. Baseball, MLS, CFL.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about CFL. Don't lie to the people. Don't lie to Dave Naylor.
Hey, listen, it's a big day for me. I'm in Toronto, but my BC Lions are playing Toronto, so...
That's interesting.
I go to the bars and wear all my orange, which is a pair of tie-dyed socks.
And you put a spray on tan.
Spray on tan. I hang out with the Jersey Shore cast, and we prance around Toronto.
Well, you are Pauly D after all. So does that make Ryan Silva the situation?
Everyone listening to this podcast, all eight people are wondering who Ryan Silva is and why he gets called out so much.
Well, he's one of the eight people who's listening.
That's true.
He knows who he himself is.
The other seven, not so much.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to hop on Twitter and follow us, and why would you? I mean, a few randos have added me over the past couple weeks since we...
Is it true?
Yeah, a couple randos. I mean, I don't know if they've just been adding me because of my writing for the Hockey Writers or whether it's because they're listening to the podcast, but if you want to be one of those people, you can follow me at Dan the Max, MACS.
And I am Paul Almeida, 22. Bryant just tweeted a minute ago.
Kobe?
Dwayne Wade and Derek Fisher challenged me, and I will take the challenge today. So that video should be good.
That will be good. Hopefully Kobe's not boring. D-Wade's was boring as shit.
D-Wade's was so boring.
So vanilla.
Oh, apparently Justin Bieber did it. I'm surprised that he let his bodyguards...
I feel like that would be like counterproductive to raising awareness for ALS. I feel like people would actually reach into the ALS fund and withdraw money if they knew that the Biebs was doing it.
Oh, Bieber. But he doesn't. He also has like 6 billion Twitter followers. So
that's true. I mean, if anyone's going to... I think he's probably the most followed person on Twitter. I'm pretty sure he's the most followed person.
He's more Googled than Jesus, so...
That's... Well, I mean, but he's also more... I don't know. I'm trying to tiptoe around this one here. He's more relevant to the modern societal condition, Jesus, in negative ways, religious people.
He's more
in negative ways.
He's more persuasive and
there you go.
And listen to.
That's right. He can also live tweet, whereas I don't think Jesus can. You know.
Although that Twitter account of Tweets of God is really funny.
Tweets of God is an amazing one. I mean, I love when Tweets of God does Throwback Thursdays. He did a Throwback Thursday tweet once where there was just like a black screen and he was like, TBT before me. It's just a picture of blackness. I thought that was clever.
It was really good. He tweeted, yeah. Oh, and man, you lost. You're double welcome.
So, Paul, we have no guests on today, but before we launch into, I think we're going to launch into baseball.
Hey, do
first.
Our survey. Okay, keep going.
Yes. No, sorry. Yeah, people, do our survey. Go to the Podomatic page or go to iTunes, and you should be able to find a link to the survey. One person already did it, so thank you for doing that, whoever you are. I think I know who it was. You male in the 25 to 30 demographic making $50,000 to $60,000 a year. That's actually quite, you know, that's our ideal demographic there, so. I'm not going to lie. People like you continue filling out the survey.
I don't know. My ideal demographic is people like LeBron, who did the ice bucket challenge from a yacht in Mykonos. Yes. So
I was surprised LeBron didn't call you out on Twitter. I'm surprised he wasn't like, I call out, you know, Barack Obama,
he
Tweets of God, and Paul Almeida 22.
That's the best part is they called out the president. And you know, right now, there's a room of presidential advisors going, okay, what are the pros for
exactly.
The president jumping a bucket? Okay, what are the cons, though?
The interns. Oh, well, he might get some shit from the ice lobby because he's wasting ice.
Exactly. So you know that there's a room somewhere.
And you know that Sean Hannity is going to tweet the day after Obama doesn't, be like, Obama, ice bucketing for ALS. Was his technique correct?
Oh, man. It's good. It's so good.
But this week and over the next coming weeks, we're going to be doing our NFL preview, and we're probably going to have a guest or two on. And then we're going to have some pretty cool guests shortly thereafter for the NHL. I mean, we're not going to talk about them right now for fear of, you know, casting some juju on
advertising.
Or false advertising. But it looks like we're going to have some pretty cool people on over the next couple weeks. So, subscribe to the channel on iTunes.
Yeah.
So that way you don't need to worry about coming back and, you know, individually downloading them. It'll just automatically, you'll see our shining pointing faces on your, on your podcast menu on random days. But, this week it'll be NFL previews will be beginning. And then in the next couple weeks, we'll gradually be phasing in previews for, hockey, as well as talking about baseball playoffs, which are coming up soon. And we're going to continue talking about soccer as much as possible.
Yeah, we decided we're going to do almost what we did with the groups for the World Cup. We're going to do 4 kind of divisional previews and then 1 just gigantic overall NHL preview.
Yeah.
We'll get Mike Shearer probably back. I want to. I haven't asked him yet, but I want to.
He was great.
He was awesome. Yeah, we probably won't talk about Kentucky as much, but we'll get a full basketball prediction and preview from him. And then for NFL, we're going to attempt to do this ourselves. But if you know anything about the NFL, which will be probably a lot more than me. Well, that's a lie. I know my fair share about the NFL.
We know, but it's we don't know to the depth of like hockey or
when Tom Brady hits those 3-pointers though. That's the best part about football for me.
Oh yeah, you know what? I mean, Tom Brady has got to be the best at service aces. Mm. His ground game is just
it's phenomenal.
It's superior.
It is. But yeah, we'll talk some NFL. But first, we're going to talk some baseball.
Good. Let's get in depth on it. I mean, it's we're in within the last 40 games or so of the year, so this is the exciting time.
First, I'm going to let you do this. Well, let's just go look up the stats over here, Let's go look at the odds for the thing. Seems like, well, the obvious one's the Dodgers to win the NL West and the Nationals to win the NL East. But then next, the most obvious one, according to the Bet365, is someone to win the AL East.
Yeah, okay. You know, the other night, I was enjoying some old retro podcasts of ours. I was going back to some, you know, some great podcasts back in the legendary days of having Wyatt on and Brendan on and Mike, and every time, you know, you asked me about baseball and you asked me about the AL East, you asked me about, you know, the Jays and whether, I think in May, you asked me whether I thought that they could maintain the pace they were on and whether they could be a team that, you know, is able to challenge for the division. I said yes. And you were like, oh, but, you know, the Red Sox, oh, but, you know, the Yankees, though, and the Rays, they're a good team. And, you know, I said those were all good teams.
Am I Sylvester Stallone?
But, I didn't hear no bell. But I said there was one team that I thought was going to be a legitimate challenge to the Blue Jays for the division title, and they were the one team I said to watch in the AL East. And, I'm sitting here actually physically patting myself on the back, folks, because the Baltimore Orioles are 6.5 games up on the Blue Jays and 7 games up on the Yankees in the AL East. And they're doing that, by the way, it should be noted, they're doing that with Chris Davis, last year's home run champion and the guy who, you know, everyone saw as their big player entering this year, hitting under 200, I think. I mean, at last
that's
blush.
Paul Almeida quality.
I know. Admittedly, this was
that's
at last
my,
blush.
That's my success average on this podcast, or how many jokes.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's also your success average on Tinder.
Ayo!
Let's be honest. But, you know, they've replaced Chris Davis's power game with Nelson Cruz, who they got in the offseason from the Rangers. He's got 31 dingers. They don't have anyone who's hitting above 300, any consistent starters. Right. I mean, they have a few guys who are spot starters who are hitting above 300, but really they're doing it through a lot of really strong, balanced team offense. They have a good power game. I mean, Adam Jones is, and as a Mariners fan, side note, Paul, how sad are you? I mean, you could have Adam Jones on your roster. Oh. He was drafted by the M's back in the day. They traded him and like 18,000 other players to the Orioles for Eric Bedard, who I think only played like 15 games for the Mariners.
Yeah, that was the Patrick Stephan of transactions.
Patrick Stephan, good hauler right there. I like that. But yeah, I think they traded Chris Tillman too, who's the ace for the
well, whatever,
the Orioles.
We got Felix Hernandez, so that's good enough.
Yeah, and I'm going to touch on the Mariners in a sec. But yeah, the Orioles, they look like as good a bet to win that division as any because the Blue Jays are fading terribly right now. I mean, the fact that they didn't go out and get anything at the trade deadline really seems to be impacting them negatively. The Yankees will probably pass them within the next week or so. I don't know when the next series between the Yankees and the Jays is, but, you know, I still don't think that the Yankees are a threat for the wild card. I think that whichever one of the Angels and the Athletics doesn't win the West is going to seal down one of the wild card spots. And then the other one I would have said would be a battle between like the Mariners and the Blue Jays. But one team is kind of surprising everyone right now with how well they've been playing lately, and they're making a charge, and that's the Royals.
The Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, the Royals are actually leading the Central. They took the lead in the Central from the Detroit Tigers, and that vaunted pitching staff. And, you know, David Price looked really good. He got his first win the other day with
Verlander got absolutely destroyed.
But, yeah, that's the thing about Verlander this year, man. He's not having a good year. He is on merit. Well, okay, Max Scherzer is going to win the Cy Young, and he looks like an absolute stud again. Give him his money. And Porcello, who's a guy who I didn't really know much about entering this year, he looks like their strong number two. Price, Anibal Sanchez is still pitching well. And Verlander on merit right now, he's 10-11 with a ERA just under 5. Verlander is their number 5 right now.
Yeah.
He actually is. I mean, if you consider David Price, Scherzer, Porcello, and Sanchez are all pitching better than him, he's their number 5. And you know what? His starts right now are costing them. I mean, the Royals, who are a team really... Paul, do me a favor right now. Name one person on the Kansas City Royals without looking. Just one. And no, you can't say Carlos Beltran.
Didn't even know.
Because that was back in the day. That was like in the early 2000s.
Kansas City Royals? Yeah. Well, I'm going to say Adam...
The answer is no. You know no one, let's be honest. And that's okay because probably no one knows no one on the KC Royals. They've been a feeder club for years, right?
Yeah.
And
I mean, they're 8-2 in the last 10. How's that a thing?
Well, they're making a charge, man. They have a balanced and respectable pitching staff, which is really anchoring them right now because they're hitting. They're not a team that can hit for power. You know, they don't have a strong gut of their lineup, but they have a lot of guys right now. I think they have 6 or 7 regular everyday starters who are hitting above 250. So I would say that right now, if I'm looking at the Mariners and the Royals, I would still say the Mariners to qualify in that second wild card spot. Because, you know, they have better mm-hmm. pitching on paper and they have some punch in the lineup and they have the linchpin in Cano. But I like the Royals. I mean, they're going to give the Tigers a challenge down the stretch, I think.
Yeah. My Mariners.
Yeah, your Mariners. And here's a team, look.
8-2 as well.
Yeah, I cannot think of a better team to get into that one-game wildcard playoff than the Mariners, if only for the reason that they have Felix, right? I mean,
yeah.
They go up, say they come up against the Angels, who are a better team on paper than them, especially in the batting order. But they come up against the Angels in that one-game playoff to qualify for that fourth wildcard spot. I say the Mariners are the favorites because they can put Felix Hernandez out there against, say, Jared Weaver, who's a respectable pitcher but is not nearly of Hernandez's quality. So, I mean, the Mariners, I like them to qualify for that second wild card spot, and thus, I like them to be a team that qualifies for the playoffs, a team that makes that number 4 spot, and they could do some damage. I mean, they're showing really well over the past couple months, and their lineup is mostly Cano and Kyle Seager right now, but, you know, they have really good pitching. They really do. I mean, you've got Hernandez, but you've also got Roynes Elias. There's a Canadian guy they had, Paxton, who was pitching for them for a while, who's not pitching for them right now. I think he's hurt at last blush. I'm pretty sure he's hurt. I don't really remember. But he was looking good for them. He might come back in time for the playoffs. You got, I can never remember, Iwakuma. Yeah, I know, right? But he's their number 2 right now. Chris Young looks really good. So I like the Mariners qualify for the playoffs in that number 5 wild card spot, and I like them, you know, because of that and because of Felix to be one of the 4 AL playoff teams this year.
So who in the NL are you looking at then?
Well, I'm still looking at the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are, I think, unquestionably the class of the AL. I mean, I've been surprised, as I think everyone has, by how well the Brewers have played this year. You know, the fact that they're leading the Central shows that they're, you know, I mean, the return of Ryan Braun helped. I mean, you know, they showed last year when he was gone how key to them he is. And, you know, he hasn't really fallen off all that terribly this year. You know, in spite of being off the juice, allegedly, he's still a strong player. He still leads the team in RBIs, and he's hitting for a respectable average and home runs. So, but the Dodgers are my team in the NL. I mean, they have the best pitcher in the world, and Kershaw. They have so much punch. in that lineup.
So much punch.
So much. They have more punch than a six-year-old's birthday party. It's just
more
ridiculous.
Punch than Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, there you go. I think this is gonna be the Sly cast.
The Sly. Hey, Sly. Really say with this guy.
I remember Sylvester Stallone in like an old Lipton iced tea commercial where he was made out of clay and he was fighting Mr. T. Get up, Rock. Get up, you bum.
I pity the fool. Hey, you told me, was it?
You pity what?
What do you pity? What does that mean?
Wait, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Ryan Braun.
Oh, Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun.
The punch. The punch in the Dodgers lineup. Yes. So the Dodgers are a team that I like out of the NL. But I think that I really think, and I thought certainly a couple weeks ago before this little hiccup, that the Tigers were the team to beat. I'm sort of starting to lean away from the Tigers being the team to beat. I really like the way that the Oakland Athletics are put together right now, but I want to see them actually prove it in the playoffs. And right now, my team to beat, I think, is the LA Angels of Anaheim. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an Angels fan. I'm saying that because I think top to bottom in their lineup, the way Trout's playing right now, even Pujols is starting to hit for them again. I mean, he's that massive albatross around his neck of being Albert Pujols, which is like albatrossception. It's like Albert Pujols is tied around Albert Pujols' neck and is weighing him down. He's finally kind of showing this year. And I think that the Angels are going to win that division. And right now I'm bet 365. The Angels are 2.6 to win the AL West, whereas the Athletics are 1.44. And you say, oh, Dan, why are the Athletics favored over, you know,
hey, Dan, Dan, why are the Angels favored to win the AL West?
Hey, Dan, are you punch drunk right now? No, I think that's because the Athletics have held the division lead for so long this season. But right now, the two teams are tied for the division title, and the Angels are the better team on form right now. You have to love the Athletics pitching staff with Lester and Sonny Gray leading them. But, I don't know. Just call it a hunch. Call it on paper. But I think that's a pretty solid bet to look at the Angels at 2.6 to win that division. And, I mean, I think that they're the team to beat in the league right now.
What about to win the entire World Series? We have the Oakland A's as your favorite right now at 5-1. Tigers and Dodgers at 7-1. Nationals at 9-1 with the Angels at 9-1. Brewers and Orioles at 13.
Yeah, I'm not giving the Natties their due, really. I mean, maybe I should because, you know, they've got a strong lineup. And if a guy like Strasburg is pitching with Gio Gonzalez, they have a good staff. But I think that you're going to see an all-LA, like not just an all-Cali, but an all-LA West Coast World Series this year. I've got the Angels and the Dodgers in the World Series.
That'd be sweet.
That would be, wouldn't it?
That'd be awesome. Yeah, Dodgers 7-1. That's not bad money. And I think what we're going to do, we kind of discussed this off podcast. We're going to put some money in and make some bets, small bets on things. And Dodgers to win the World Series at 7-1 looks pretty appealing to me.
Looks pretty juicy. I mean, the NL, when the Dodgers qualify, and they'll probably qualify with the top seed unless, you know, one of the Brewers or the Nationals makes a sustained charge. The Dodgers are going to come up against the winner from that wild card junket, which is a mess in the NL right now.
Yes.
Really, it could be any of the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Giants, the Braves, even the Marlins and the Reds have outside chances at it. So really, it basically anyone except for the Cubs has a chance at the at the wild card in the NL.
They're not the worst in the NL, though. The Colorado Rockies have taken that.
Yeah, the Rockies, how mighty the Rockies have fallen, and also, or how mighty the Rockies have fallen, how far the Rock has fallen.
The Rockies have fallen.
Yeah, but the worst team in the league being the Texas Rangers this year has got to be a surprise. I mean, the fact that they're worse than the Houston Astros, man. At the start of the year, I was talking about the Rangers, you know, contending for the wild card, and you look at their roster on paper, and why the hell wouldn't they? I mean, they have a good staff. They up and down their lineup. They got Prince Fielder getting hurt, obviously, you know, stuck a knife in any real sustained chances they were going to have. But I mean, Adrian Beltre is hitting .320 with 17 home runs. You think that would be enough to elevate them, but it hasn't been. They've been terrible this year.
Yeah. Well, ask the Penguins of the NHL how it works when just a couple of your players show up.
Yep, pretty much. Although they at least make the playoffs.
That
they're
is
not true. They're not the Edmonton Oilers.
That is
obligatory the, Oilers jab.
Get the shot in.
Mm. Anyway, Paul, let's move on from baseball and let's start talking about your Tinder life. No, let's not. Let's talk about tennis because that is Paul's, what, your specialty right
that's
now?
My without specialty hockey right now. Yeah.
Without hockey and football on, that's Paul's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. ATP Cincinnati final is, was it today or is it already over?
No, it is coming up on, I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a mix-up between the two word jumbles, Roger Federer and David Federer.
It's coming up. By the time this podcast is over or is released, it'll probably be over.
Okay, well then predict the future for people.
Predict the future. I predict Roger Federer will win. After we say that the big four in tennis is done with, here I am predicting Federer to come through. I think I did say for Federer. Is Federer. Like, he won't, I don't think he'll win a major, but in this draw, he didn't have to go up against Djokovic. Nadal wasn't even here in the tournament, or Murray. He beat Raonic, which is that a feat? I don't know. In this tournament, Raonic was ranked fifth, Federer was ranked second, so...
Raonic is so whatever right now, man. He's so yesterday.
So yesterday... That's a Hillary Duff song you just pulled out right there.
Oh, God.
And yes, I know that.
Oh, it's the Hillary Duff cast.
But Federer beat, on the way to the finals, he beat Raonic. Mm-hmm. He did beat Andy Murray. He beat him in two straight sets. He beat Gael Monfils of France. He beat Vasek Pospisil. So he beat two Canadians, a Frenchman, and a British guy.
Nice.
Honestly,
sounds like what I did on a Friday night in Edinburgh.
Ayo.
Boom.
As opposed to David Ferrer, who, well, David Ferrer kind of had a walk to the finals as well because Djokovic was out. So that's what happens with these small tournaments, though. You know, whether they care less about them or whether there's just, you know, no prestige to it, so they don't try. But it seems like the majors, you'll get the big four in the final four. Whereas these ones, someone like Novak Djokovic loses to a 16 seed named Tommy Robredo.
Robredo. Yeah, see, he's not giving it his full. You know he's not giving it his full.
Right, when he loses in two straight sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the big news of the day is the super team of Vasek Pospisil and Jack Sock.
There we go. We had to give our Jack Sock shout out for the
game. They lost? They lost to the Bryan brothers in the finals.
Oh, my, so we're not going to be sponsoring Jack Sock then.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to say, just so folks know, we were last night when I was a few glasses of wine in and Paul was 3 hours ahead of me and thus overtired. We were talking about potential, you know, advertising partners and sponsored. And obviously... The first thing that came to mind wasn't to try and send our shit off to Nike or Coca-Cola or, you know, something like that. Our first idea was to send shit off to Jack Sock's agent.
I want Jack Sock to wear a shirt that says, I love the DP.
Yep. And you know he's gonna. And people will not... people will understand the double entendre, but they won't understand the real meaning. He's gotta have, like, hashtag DP, hashtag DP Sportscast, hashtag...
On his socks. On his ankle guards.
At Paul Almeida 22, at Dan the Max, and then at Ryan Silva as well, because why not?
All right, so let's talk about the women's side now. Women's side of the Cincinnati tournament. So, I mean, Serena Williams, kind of the top section of every draw is Serena. So she just walked through everybody, which was Sam Stosur, Flavia Panetta, Yelena Yankovic, and Carolina Wozniacki. Our girl, we feel for. We feel for you.
Oh, yeah, she's the Canadian one. Or is she?
No, Carolina Wozniacki? No, she's Danish.
That's right, and she was the one who was with our boy Rory, of course. Rory. I can never tell them apart.
Yeah, Wozniak and Wozniacki.
Yes.
And then she's facing off Anna Ivanovich, another hard-to-pronounce Russian's name in the final.
It's always a hard-to-pronounce Russian's name in the final. Who was that one that you were hollering at earlier in the week? who literally I can't even.
Agnieszka Radwanska?
No, she's like Polish.
Dominique Sobokova?
No, she's like Romanian.
Maria Sharapova?
No, she's like Slava American. Kuznetsova? No, I swear there was one in there.
Evangelist Svitlina?
Evangelist.
Agnes Pavlyuchenkova.
That's the one.
There you go.
You think that her name's going to stop after
Anastasia,
the chink? You think that her name's going to be Pavlyuchenko or something like that? But no, it just keeps going. It just keeps running.
Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
Chenkova.
Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. So I think, I mean, let's just make this easy. Serena's going to win this because she's a monster. Maria Sharapova, I'm surprised, lost. She's only ranked fifth in this tournament. She did beat the second seed, Simona Halep, in the quarters, and then lost to Ivanovic in three sets in the finale, or semifinals. So Serena's going to win. Roger's going to win. It's the tournament for the veterans. We'll say that. Did this change anything for the bet for the, what's it called, U.S. Open coming up?
I don't know.
Let's take a look here. U.S. Open women outright to win. Serena, I mean, that's not going to change. Serena, then Sharapova, Azarenka, Halep, Bouchard, still at 9-1, even though she
She hasn't been tweeting lately. I was on her Twitter the other day, which is not creepy at all. She hasn't, like, tweeted anything in, like, a week. Like,
well,
what?
She's
practicing.
She's in therapy.
Well, yeah, I guess because she had her epic fail at the past two tournaments, so she's actually on the court practicing shit, which is where we want you to be, Eugenie.
Yeah, get out
either
there.
Either there or here.
Either there or, and by here he means Toronto. The US Open for the men, Djokovic, Murray, Nadal, Federer. Why do they put Murray over Nadal? That's not, I mean,
I don't think
Nadal's going to win, but he certainly can beat Murray. So 5.5 for Nadal, that may be your value bet for that tournament, but we'll discuss that. Further on later. So that's our tennis. U.S. Open coming up. I will be in New York for September 1st to 5th, so this might be the greatest trip in the world where I see a Yankees game, a U.S. Open match, and make my Broadway debut.
Well, look, I mean, only one of those three things is extremely lame. And, I mean, let's be honest, it's clearly the Yankees game.
The Yankees game. Who wants to go see the Yankees?
Yankees. But, no, that's really cool, man. Yeah, if you're going to do that, we're going to have to get some live tweeting / maybe live podcast. I'll bring you on as a guest on your own show from, like, the U.S. Open.
Can you pay for the roaming charges that I have to pay for my internet?
You'll get Wi-Fi at Yankee Stadium and
is
shit.
Is there Wi-Fi at Yankee Stadium?
There must be. Okay, who are the Yankees playing in early September? They are hosting the Sox.
The Sox.
Who aren't in the playoff race, but you know, it's, and then they're hosting the Royals after that, so that might be a really relevant race for set for the playoff race.
That's cool. It just goes to show you the, like, the order of way things go in New York. I was there. I was in New York at the beginning of July, and the Yankees are on a giant road trip, and the Mets were in town, but I was like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh. I don't want to see a Mets game.
No. No, not at Citi Field.
No.
I mean, nobody goes to Staples Center and is like, you know, gee, I really feel like watching the Clippers.
Exactly.
Nobody does that.
Exactly. Well, let's take a look at CFL bets here.
Are you for real right now? Is this actually happening?
I'm just kidding. No.
Thanks.
One cares.
Okay. I thought you were trolling something fierce there.
I mean, the Lions are playing the Argos, but
I'm sorry if, like, you know,
you're a big CFL guy.
Schultzy listens to our podcast.
Dave
but no.
Naylor and Eagle saying, "Oh my goodness,
oh my goodness." Yeah, Dave Naylor wouldn't say, "Oh my goodness." He'd type some big, enormous, long-winded diatribe on it.
Now that's Milt Siegel. Then they'll have Matt Dunnigan saying, "Schultz, you know, I got there. I was a football player back when I played for Edmonton Eskimos, and I got a big concussion. Now I'm on this panel. It's the greatest job in the world."
So who's on that panel now? Because Dave Randorf, little midgey, had to leave because he went to Sportsnet.
Yeah, it's Dave Randorf. It's hosted usually by Gino Retta did it at one point.
I saw Rod Smith doing it the other day.
Rod Smith usually does it. Milt Stiegel, Matt Dunnigan, Chris Schultz.
Okay. That's so they got rid of Jock Climie.
He's usually the fill-in. He's like, you know, P. Pierre McGuire when Bob McKenzie can't do it.
Okay, fair enough.
Bob McKenzie, we're getting you on this podcast.
Yeah, it's going to happen one day. We know you are the Dark Canuck, but we're going to make it happen.
We're going to get you on here. You know, sometimes there's just not enough sports to fill an entire podcast.
And we can only creep Eugenie Bouchard for so long before we get a complaint with the FCC about it.
All right, but there is one sport that is starting up that's exciting. I'm getting into it this year. I mean, it's been
good.
One day of games, but
please do.
That's me getting into it. Hey, my Gunners won. My arbitrary team won.
Our Gunners.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yes. Thank you. Because I'm an actual fan of them.
Yes, I'm a fan.
Yeah, they did. And they went down 1-0 to Crystal Palace, but they came back. They stormed back with a couple nice goals, and Aaron Ramsey, their linchpin, winning it in extra time. But of the big five, four of them have played thus far, and three of them, you know, did as expected. I mean, you know, City went out today on Sunday as we record, and they won their game quite handily. Liverpool was, I don't remember who Liverpool played. They played someone inconsequential like Southampton or something like that. Yeah, that's exactly who they played. Southampton. Ah, what a good guess. Then who was the other? Oh, wait. United. But I thought David Moyes was the problem. I thought that they were going to come back this year and they were going to light the world on fire and go undefeated FA Cup, Carling Cup, Champions League, World Cup, you know, top hat fancy. But no.
No.
They lost to Swansea. They lost to a bunch of Welsh people running around the field. And really, frankly, they didn't look like they deserved to win, having watched the extended highlights. Admittedly, not the whole game, but the extended highlights. They didn't press as much as I thought they would. I mean, Van Gaal's system is you know, a relatively, I guess, conservative one that's kind of built around counterattack. But it's hard to counterattack if you're missing all of your passes out of midfield. So right now they look out of sorts. They're obviously getting used to, they're getting used to having Chevrolet sponsor them, first of all.
Yeah.
Which is ugly as shit.
It looks very odd.
What a horrendous, like, just that Chevy logo is just, I've never been a fan of Chevys, and just that Chevy logo on the front of the jersey just
looks odd.
Gross. It really does.
Yep.
I don't know if United's title odds took, they did take a hit on Bet365. Yeah, they went down, actually, enormously. They went down from 5 to 9. Ha! So they're at 9-1 because of one loss to Swansea.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Swansea is 2,500-1.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you want to bet someone outside of the big five, you can go right ahead. You're on crack because it's never gonna happen.
This is not. Hey, they're 1-0.
Yeah, that's right. Swansea 2014.
Chelsea plays tomorrow. They should win.
They should. They should get off to a good start. They're playing Burnley.
Burnley.
Which sounds like something somewhere Stewie would be from.
Burnley.
But yeah, they'll come out on top. And I think that we have our first kind of incestual inter-Big Five matchup next week. I believe you have City and Liverpool on the Monday. So it'll be interesting to see how – it's always interesting to see when the Big Five actually start playing each other, how they match up. City Liverpool was the title race last year until Steven Gerrard shit the bed.
Yeah.
And it'll be good to see them play next Monday. I mean, that'll be the first one I think that we can really get in depth on and chew on a bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. If you had to bet someone to win the title after one game, after one day of games, does it change? I think you said Chelsea.
Yes. Nah, I stay with Chelsea, but City looked good today. Arsenal looked all right. Look, I'm not even going to discount United just because they lost to Swansea. I mean, I think that City lost their first game last year, and they ended up winning the title. So it doesn't really matter. Look, it's the first day. What really matters is how United shows form against Chelsea, how they show form against City, Arsenal, and Liverpool. And I do feel as though they're going to be able to rise to the occasion. I do have questions about their defense. I mean, they had an aging defense. They've now kind of transitioned. Luke Shaw, who was their big pickup in the offseason from Southampton to play on defense, did not look good in his first game. But then again, not really anyone looked good for United in their first game. They were sloppy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, when United comes up against the big boys, if they're going to like wither under the light like they did last year. I mean, they were bad against the good teams last year, you know, whereas Chelsea was really good against the good teams and bad against the bad teams. And that's what cost them. United was good against the bad teams and bad against the good ones, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. I would still have my money on Chelsea right now. They'll beat Burnley tomorrow and it's them or City right now.
Right. All right. Well, let's hop into the buzzer beater here.
Yes.
But before we do, I have a great, I don't know if you're watching the Sedin versus Sedin thing they have up on Canucks.com.
No.
They had them doing, like...
I have other things to do, like nothing.
Like swipe Tinder.
No, I don't do that, Paul.
Oh, right, sorry.
Married.
They were doing, like, they faced the Sedins off against each other in five different challenges. They were just really sick. Like, penalty shots in soccer. They had them doing accuracy shots in hockey, which Daniel won. Henrik won the penalty shots. They did ping pong, which Henrik won. Then they did ball juggling, like soccer, which Henrik won again. And then the fifth one they did...
Better ball juggler?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, I would have thought Daniel would be the better ball juggler.
Yeah, Daniel won one thing. But anyways.
Terrible. Blame Duncan Keith for that, too. Blame Duncan Keith for everything. Let's blame Duncan Keith for Daniel Sedin not being good at ball juggling.
Yeah, I'm going to unplug my headphones here. Sound different now.
You do.
Okay.
You sound like, oh, hear me. I'm not going to talk.
Okay, you don't talk. I'm going to play this because it's great. They're doing a trivia contest, and they're tied. And so Joey Kenward asks them a bonus tie-breaking question, and it's closest to wins. Take a listen to this. Tell me if you can hear it.
For you, Daniel and Henrik,
okay,
what do you think is your combined total career penalty minutes in the National Hockey League?
You know it's going to be an even number. Because there's no fives in there.
So they're writing down what they think is their combined penalty minutes.
That's too much.
All right, guys, you put down your answers, show them up to the audience, and let's see who's closest. Henrik, 892. Daniel, 1100.
What's the answer?
We're going to find out.
I'll tell them to you guys.
It's pretty... Actually, I know who's close. Well, maybe I don't. It's going to be really close.
If it's below 1,000, I have a chance. What's that? What's...
996.
It's a tie. Is it really? No, it's not. 104 apart, both of us. What do you have? 892. Oh, that's something. That's unbelievable.
Are you serious?
Do you believe that?
That is bizarre.
No,
are you
kidding me?
It's a tie.
This is good TV, eh?
This is impeccable.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know what to say. Like, I know they're twins, but that is just some bizarre, freaky dilemma.
It is crazy. You need to watch the video. It's great. It's up on YouTube, Canucks.com, whatever. Sedin versus Sedin Trivia, Episode 5.
Who ties in trivia? Who does that?
Just to watch Joey Kenward's face. It is hysterical. He's speechless. They're both 104 apart. That's amazing.
Who ties in trivia? Who does that?
We do on our buzzer beater. Let's start. The Price is Right. All hey, right, how did you like go. The Price is Right music from last time?
I loved it. I mean, it was going on in my head anyway, so right. it makes sense. I mean, well, now then. I don't feel so delusional.
All right. Well, then let's start it now. All right, Dan. Here's my questions to you, sir. Yeah. Question number one. Up on Bet365, we have... We've talked about winning the division, and we've talked about winning the World Series. Who would you bet on to win the AL and the NL?
I gotta say, Paul, first of all, that was the slowest buzzer beater question ask of all time. If you were trying to beat a buzzer, you would fail. I'm going to go with LA in the AL and LA in the NL. I'm going to go with the Dodgers and the Angels.
All right, this leads to question two. Would you rather, not what do you think, but what do you rather see, an all-LA World Series or an all-New York World Series?
I think I'd rather see an all-New York World Series just because they take it so much more seriously and they could just yell back and forth at each other in their New York accents.
The New York accent.
Mets suck.
Hey, bring me my coffee.
I can start quoting Seinfeld, but that's about all I got for New York.
Speaking of voices, give me a voice that you would want to hear all future sports broadcasts in. Would it be,
this now we have the Vikings coming out in the field here.
Sly Stallone, would you rather have, you know, well, today in Green Bay is a nice crisp day. Or would you rather have someone like Sean Connery doing all of the...
Well, I can't even do a Sean Connery, and I lived in Scotland for a year. I'm going to go D other and ask that all future podcasts be made in the voice of Daryl Sutter, which is kind of similar to Sylvester Stallone. Yeah, you got to talk like you have an extremely slow functioning brain. Daryl Sutter's a smart guy. Did you see him do the ALS ice bucket challenge, by the way?
No.
He did it underneath a barn window holding the Stanley Cup.
Hey, this is Coach Daryl Sutter. I'm here. And
he looks up at the barn window, like the barn window has something that says Viking above it.
Viking Alberta? And I'm going to do the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and I'd like to challenge no one because I'm a boring bastard with no friends.
And then some guys pour the water on him from, like, above.
Does he just not react and they'll walk away?
No, he's just kind of like, it's cold.
No, I don't know. I don't remember if he reacts.
Which leads me to question four. Wow, this all ties together. If you had to denominate you will once I nominate you, but if you could see anyone famous do the Ice Bucket Challenge, who would it be?
Define famous.
Anyone.
Okay, well, then I'd want to see your mom do the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Either your mom or Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
I think he's
got to do it sitting on the Iron Throne in, like, full outfit, regalia, top hat, fancy.
I want to see Walter White and Jesse Pinkman do the Ice Bucket.
Holy! Just because I want to see them dressed up like them again. How amazing would that be?
Hey, do you see the teaser there's a show coming out in 2015 called Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I did. It looks like it's going to be pretty amazing. We're going to be friggin' integrating Better Call Saul into this podcast, I can guarantee. Hopefully it's good.
Hopefully it doesn't end up like Joey after Friends.
No, well, it's written by the same guy who did Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan, so
he's a near genius.
Question
five. This is the slowest buster beater ever. Question five. Hey, you're picking first in your NFL fantasy draft. Who is it?
I think people usually draft running backs first when they pick first. So I'm going to be a little biased as a Packers fan and say Eddie Lacy.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
All right. First question, Paul. We were talking about this off air. The Florida Panthers, they're in a bit of financial trouble right now. Nobody in Sunrise, Florida cares about ice hockey. Big friggin' surprise. If you were to move them, pick a place to move them, where would you move them and why? Your options being probably Seattle, Quebec City, Vegas, and Kansas City.
I want them in Vegas just because I think it's hilarious. They're going to go to Seattle if anyone relocates, it's going to Seattle, which is hysterical if Roberto Luongo wants out of Vancouver and has to relocate to Seattle.
Yeah, straight up.
Quebec would be great just for you know, the Winnipeg Jets kind of storyline. And I don't think Kansas City is getting a hockey team anytime soon.
Fair. All right, question the second. As a casual baseball observer, but someone who admittedly, you said yourself, watches a lot of playoff baseball, give me one rivalry, one playoff series in baseball that just gets you just jacked and hyped.
Well, it was the Red Sox and Yankees, but that doesn't seem so anymore.
No, not this year.
I think it doesn't get me jacked up and ready to go, but I think the LA versus LA series would be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Or like you said, New York. Just okay, fans.
Calm down, Sinatra.
New York. I think anything of the same city would be great.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Who has more right swipes on Tinder, do you think? Cristiano or Eugenie?
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll tell you something.
I'll tell you a story.
Let me tell you something, kid. It would be Eugenie. And I'll tell you why. Because anyone that uses Tinder knows you could be the best looking guy in the world, and this is how guys' Tinders work. You swipe right, and if they had swiped you right already, it says you match, like, immediately, right?
Okay. Okay.
So if you're a guy, you swipe right, like, nothing happens. Swipe right, nothing happens. Then you swipe a couple left. Then you swipe right, nothing happens. If you're a girl, this is what a girl's Tinder is like. Swipe left, swipe left, swipe left, swipe left, Swipe right, immediate match. Swipe right, immediate match. That's what every girl's Tinder is. So Eugenie, being who she is and what she looks like, it would especially be everyone swipe Eugenie to the right.
That's my answer. I think she would set a Tinder record. I think she would actually, she would be the flint to Tinder and start a fire. Heyo! Paul, what's a better Vancouver sports atmosphere / what Vancouver thing would you want to go to more? Is it a Canucks game, a Lions game, a Whitecaps game, or a Vancouver Canadiens game?
You know, right now it's a Canadiens game.
Yeah, so fun.
It is easily a Canadiens game. The Whitecaps are, the Whitecaps are getting there. But I would rank the Lions last, because I went to their opener versus Edmonton. It was pitiful. Less than 20,000 people there. I think they had 24,000 at their last home game.
Sad.
The Canucks, which was on like a Saturday night. The Canucks, they had more people at their preseason games than their end of season last year. And it's boring inside Rogers Arena.
Yeah.
It is. It puts you to sleep. The Whitecaps are doing well. The Whitecaps are, they tied last night. But they're doing okay. I think they're fourth in their conference.
Something like that.
But the Vancouver Canadiens, I mean, they're three-time champions right now.
Yeah.
They're doing good. They're fun. There's a little thing. My friend choreographs the people that clean the dirt, and
that's amazing. I love the guys who do the dancing.
They do the
amazing
dancing. He posts the videos on Facebook. It's hilarious. It's stupid and it's funny, and I love it. That's what it is. It's fun. You don't see the ice girls doing it at Canucks games. Take themselves too seriously. That's what it is.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know what? I was at a Canadiens game the other night. You know, have a few wobbly pops, a few adult beverages, and you're sitting there, and there are people like beaking the pitcher from the other single A team, like he's Justin Verlander. They're like, I can't remember what his name was, like Peters or something. They're like, Peters. Like, you don't know who he is.
He makes $12,000 a year doing this.
Yeah, exactly. The poor boy rides a bus, and he probably stays at like the Best Western Inn. Probably rooms of two dudes who snore.
Which is great, though.
Yeah. Paul, in the spirit of a bit more serious of a note, in the spirit of some sad events that took place this past week, completely unsports related, what's your favorite Robin Williams movie?
It's got to be Aladdin for me.
Yeah.
Although I will say I haven't seen Good Will Hunting, and I figure that'll take the cake as soon as I see it.
You should see Good Will Hunting. It's really good. For me, my childhood, man, I mean, I love Disney movies growing up, but my favorite live action movie when I was growing up was Jumanji.
Oh.
I just absolutely loved Jumanji.
My teacher was in that.
Your teacher was in Jumanji?
Yeah, Jillian Barber was in it.
Oh, cool. Right on. Just like an extra or like
no, no, she was in it. She had a whole post up on Facebook. It was really quite sad about how he like fixed her car when it broke down. And
wow.
Let's see. I want to get this right and see what she was in it. Robin Williams played Alan, of course, in it. Jillian Barber was Mrs. Thomas, the real estate agent.
Oh, actually, she actually has a pretty big part then.
Yeah, no,
she's there and she's actually interacting on. I don't know if she interacts with him. Oh yeah, she does interact with him on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, come to think of it, yeah, I remember that lady quite well. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yes, for me, it's Jumanji. But he had so many good movies, and I was really sad, you know. I mean, that was, for the internet generation, I mean, that was one of the first people who we, as, you know, mid-20-somethings who grew up with the internet would have grown up as like a movie star for us. Mrs. Doubtfire, Aladdin, you said it, Jumanji. Jack was a great movie, the one where he plays the prematurely aging kid or whatever.
Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, Dead Poets Society. Oh, yeah, of course, Dead Poets Society.
But there's so many, and Robin Williams. I mean, what I remember him most for, I like Aladdin just because of what he brought to it. Apparently, what happened was I was listening to interviews from Robin Williams, and he had the script in front of him, and he just looked up at the producers, and he was like, can I just, like, improv and riff? And they're like, yeah, go for it. And he riffed apparently like 12 minutes, and that was their genie, and they had it.
That's so awesome.
Which is only Robin Williams can do that. If you've watched his Inside the Actor Studio, James Lipton asks him, where do you get your creativity from? Right? It seems like an endless well of just everything. And he's like, I can't really explain it, but I can show you. And he goes into the audience and he grabs a girl's scarf and he improvs with the scarf for 8 minutes, and it is the funniest 8 minutes you've ever seen in your life.
Such a smart guy, so whip smart and funny, and yeah.
Jimmy Fallon really said it best when he said he's the Muhammad Ali of comedy. He's just so fast and.
Good way to put it. Yeah. Good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a sad note to end on, but yeah. I thought it was a relevant question. And yes, go watch Good Will Hunting.
Yes, I will do so. Yeah. Let's be back on Thursday-ish with NFL previews.
Yeah.
We'll start NHL in September. And until then, go watch a Robin Williams movie.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Yeah, go do that. And do yourself another favor. Don't go on Tinder.
No Tinders.
No.
See ya.